Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Last week we spoke about standing alone, coming away from the crowd, not being a people pleaser, but being a God pleaser. Be a transformer. What do transformers do? Transform. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Be transformed. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Hallelujah. Friends, are you one of the crowd, or are you a unique individual? Every one of us would want to say, yeah, I'm a unique individual. But also, if we're honest, we'd also say we find it easier to fit in. We want to fit in often. The truth is that to be different sometimes will mean that we're ostracized, branded fanatics, mocked, rejected even. So we conform. But God would say to you this morning, as he says to me, I want you to be radically different. Radically different. Being transformed. In Daniel chapter 3, fascinating chapter, this is an account of the fiery furnace. King Nebuchadnezzar, probably because of his dream, ordered this massive, massive gold-covered statue to be erected. It was 90 feet high, about 30 meters. It was 9 feet wide, covered in gold. And he made a declaration, he made a decree. He said, when the band plays, every one of you must bow down and, as it were, worship this idol. It became an idol. If you like, it was a kind of an established state religion. It was a quick way of uniting the empire around one belief. But three people refused to obey. Hallelujah. What were their names, children? Amen. Let's turn to Daniel chapter 3. Thank you. Hallelujah. Daniel. If it helps, sometimes, friends, rather than just listening, sometimes it helps reading the word. So if you want to read it out loud with me, do so. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and its width 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. And King Nebuchadnezzar sent word to gather together the satraps, the administrators, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the officials of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. So the satraps, the administrators, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the officials of the provinces gathered together for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald cried aloud, to you it is commanded, O peoples, nations and languages, that at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre and psaltery in symphony, with all kinds of music, you shall fall down and worship the gold image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. So at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the horn, flute, harp and lyre in symphony with all kinds of music, all the people, nations and languages fell down and worshipped the gold image which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Therefore at that time certain Chaldeans came forward and accused the Jews. They spoke and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery in symphony with all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the gold image. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews among you whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold image which you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in a rage and fury, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up? Now if you are ready at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre and psaltery in symphony with all kinds of music and you fall down and worship the image which I have made, good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? Oh man, who is the God that will... Oh, he's got something. He's going to... Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the expression on his face changed towards Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace 7 times more than it was usually heated. And he commanded certain mighty men of valor who were in the army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, and their other garments were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he arose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, Did we not cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said to the king, True, O king. Look, he answered, I see 4 men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the form of the 4th is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spoke, saying, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came from the midst of the fire, and the satraps, administrators, governors, the king's counselors gathered together, and they saw these men on whose bodies the fire had no power. The hair of their head was not singed, nor were their garments affected, and the smell of fire was not on them. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him. And they have frustrated the king's word and yielded their bodies that they should not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that any people, nation, or language which speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made an ash heap, because there is no other God who can deliver like this. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Incredible story. And it's the word of God. It happened. It happened. So reports of these 3 young men's rebellion, 3 young guys who are going to stand away from the crowd, that news reached Nebuchadnezzar, and so they were thrown into the fiery furnace. And we read it was heated 7 times hotter than usual. Even those who threw them in were burned and consumed. We read just then that Nebuchadnezzar looked into the furnace and saw four people there, one whom looked like the Son of God. Was this an appearing of the Lord himself? In a battle in the furnace today, you got God with you? He's able to save you from the fire, so you don't even get a scorch mark on you, left on you. Going through some deep waters, he's able to deliver you out. No drowning. Why did God protect Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Children, why did God protect Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Della, any ideas? Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, they put their trust in the one living God. They realize that Nebuchadnezzar's idol, his stature, and all the other gods, which are man-made, man-created, or whatever, are useless, worthless. There's no God like the God of Jehovah. Hallelujah. There is no God like him. Worship him. So God protected these three young men. They had faith. They had courage in the Lord. They had faith. They had courage in the Lord. Look, these three guys could easily have justified themselves and said, and made excuses and think, oh, okay, that does look a bit hot. Do you think they had fear? I guess they did. You know, last week we said, you know, when David stood before Goliath, he would probably have had butterflies. He's a big man. What if? But then they thought, I know that who's for me is greater than anyone against me. My God is with me. God's not going to let me down. He can't be defeated. I reckon these three young men had a few butterflies. Their knees would have been knocking. It's okay sometimes to, when you know that you've got to make a stand, that you can't go with your friends, you can't do what they're doing. It's okay to feel, perhaps I ought to keep quiet because I don't want to be laughed at. I don't want to be mocked. I don't want to be ridiculed. I don't want to be labelled a fanatic. It's okay to think that. But then, my help is in the Lord. David said, when I am afraid, I will trust in the Lord. And God's love, his perfect love, takes away that fear. And he gives you the courage to say, no, I'm not coming with you. No, I'm not going to that place. I can't use the language that you're using. I've got God's love in me. So these men could have easily bowed down, but they chose to remain standing in love and obedience to the Lord, while all the crowds, everyone else, bowed down in worship to the idol. God delivered them from the fiery furnace. Verse 17, if that is the case, this is their thing. Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O King. But if not, let it be known to you, O King, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. Even when it feels to you that you've been let down, perhaps God wasn't there for you because he didn't answer in quite the way you wanted him to, have the resolve of those three young men, I'm still going to trust God because he's good. And he's got the big picture Mark spoke about. him, the Lord, having the big picture. We see things sometimes, as it were, with a veil in between. Okay, do you find it difficult in resisting peer pressure? Sometimes it seems easy, and particularly when you've really soaked yourself in the Word of God and you're so in love. And, hey, I can take this, make this stand. I can do this for Jesus. I can be bold. But other times, it seems attractive, doesn't it? Why does God allow peer pressure? He allows peer pressure and the obstacles we face, the challenges that we face, to help mould us into his image, to mould our lives, to build our character, to make us strong and courageous for him. You see, his Holy Spirit can help us. The courage to stand alone, to be obedient to Jesus Christ. Them that honour me, I will honour. I've blown it a few times when I took the coward route. I've regretted that afterwards. I've had to say sorry to the Lord. But when I stood for Jesus, made decisions, I haven't been influenced by the crowd, by my mates, by those who just want me to fail. When I said, in God, I put my trust. He's been there. Yeah, we would rather not have the mockery, the taunts, the laughter. But God says, hey, if you're standing up for me, you're blessed. I'm with you. If Jesus was mocked, so will you be as a disciple. But you're blessed. And the stand you make today will help you when the big decisions come along. I'm going to stand for Jesus. I've counted the cost, but I'm still going for the Lord. Because he has promised never to leave me nor forsake me. I'm putting Jesus first. And who knows who's going to be influenced by my testimony. That I have put Christ first. It's good to pray that we don't become cowards. And when we do feel like giving in and conforming, compromising, hey Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Make me bold. Make me courageous. I don't want to be a coward for you, Lord. Do you know what Revelation 21 says? He links the coward with the vile, with the murderer, with the sexually immoral. I don't want to be a coward. I will be a coward in my strength, but in God's strength, I can be bold, I can be courageous. That's what he wants. He wants for each and every one of you, from the youngest to the biggest. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. As you read the Bible and you obey its teachings, his Spirit will empower you for him, no matter what the cost. The Apostle Paul says, continue in the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise. You learn to hear God when you read the Bible. God will accept no excuse for us denying him. Throughout the centuries, there's always been a remnant of people who have had the God-given courage and strength to remain standing, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When you stand for the Lord, he's going to do things through your life and through you that your people are going to say there has to be God. When you make that decision to step out in faith, God will honor you. Remember, you can either stand alone for the Lord now, or one day stand before him alone in judgment. Friends, the world does not want wasted persons. The world does not need wasted persons. They do not need conformers, compromisers, or those who just give in to peer pressure. There are already enough weak-kneed, cowardly people in the world as there are in the church. What we need today, what God needs, what for his people, that we have that God-given courage, that boldness to stand up and make our lives count. Instead, make this decision. Mark said about reflecting, a time to look back, but make a decision. Make this decision before God, each and every one of you. Instead of being influenced by the world and by its culture, influence our world, your world, for Jesus Christ. Make that decision. I will not follow the crowd when they're going the opposite way to you, Lord. I will swim against the tide. I will influence my world, my community, for Jesus Christ. The world needs champions to stand up and face the modern Goliath. The world needs champions to stand and face the fiery furnace with God-given courage, with faith, with strength, victory, and proclaim the truly resurrected Jesus Christ. Will you allow the Lord to make you into one of his champions by being totally committed to him and by walking in obedience to his word and his spirit? Be a transformer. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Folk, we're living in challenging but exciting days. It's off the scale what God can do through you and with you, if only we give him the opportunity. Take your everyday life, your everyday living, your sleeping, your eating, you're going to school, going to work, being a homemaker, your work, your mission, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you and wants to do for you and through you is the best thing that you can do for him. Don't become one of the crowd and fit into the culture around you. Fix your attention on the Lord. But Jim, it's too difficult, it's too hard. No! Jesus came to this world to give you an example. He came as a saviour. He came to forgive you, but he's given his life as an example. Yes, he said, hey, I don't want to go this route. Ooh, is there another way? But I come to do your will, O God. And he was strengthened in the hour of his greatest battle. And so he will for you. Amen.